Morning. We're going to be sharing from Genesis 28. So if you would turn your Bibles to Genesis 28, we'll read from there. It's from the NASB. It says this: "So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham.' Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan,' and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Padan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set, and took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. In the land which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.' Then Jacob arose from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, Yahweh, and I did not know it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me I will surely give a tenth to you.'" Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We just want to honor you and worship you. Lord, we come to your house. We ask for a revelation, God, that you would speak to us just where we're at. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is the chapter right after the deceitful event. And so Rebecca plans this this plan. She decides, you know, I'm going to make up something and just send him away so that Esau doesn't come kill him. And so Jacob is sent away out of the promised land, out of Canaan, and to Padan Aram, things like that. And just before we get into sort of the idea of what Jacob went through in his dream and things like that, one thing that I want to point out is just for thought. And it has a lot of theological implications, but through this whole process, it just seems to me that Esau just got screwed. I mean, it's like, to be honest, you know, as I'm reading this and reflecting, it's pretty messed up. And then it's like, why would God choose Jacob over Esau? You know, for Jacob, he's a liar, deceiver, he's a thief. And these things, and you know, I'm not necessarily going to go into that right now, but if you just at a cursory reading, it's like, man, Esau just got really messed up and screwed, and then Jacob, this you know, the guy who steals, lies, cheats, is a thief, you know, gets all the blessing and everything goes through him, and but then it also reminds me of the story of the prodigal son and how the older son, he gets screwed. And why is it the prodigal, the runaway, the one that sins and messes up, you know, and he gets you know, a party and all these things? And as you go down through the themes of Scripture, it's like, man, how come you know, the people who messed up and, you know, are thieves. And you know, maybe you can kind of understand where I'm getting at is that, you know, who do we see ourselves as? Do we see ourselves as Jacob or Esau? And the gospel is for those who have screwed up. The gospel is for those who are messed up, for those who in this case, as God shows up, and we'll see, God shows up, and Jacob understands that he's been redeemed by God, and now he follows him, and he sets up an altar, he worships him. And this is the redemptive story and the plan of God. But just an observation that it just seems like Esau got screwed. But then now we're going to focus on Jacob. And here Jacob is facing an uncertain future. He got sent away from home, and he's not sure if he's able to come back. His understanding right now is that his brother wants to come kill him, and so if he goes back, he's a dead man. He got sent to find a wife, but he has, you know, no idea how that's going to happen, who it's going to be, you know, when it's going to happen. You know, he's not certain about, you know, in modern day understanding his job or a home, or even if his basic needs are going to be met. So he has a totally uncertain future now. He has he's what it seems like totally alone in a very hostile environment, and there's no guarantee that he's not going to be hunted down and killed by his brother, or even killed by wild animals out in the wilderness there. And so Jacob right now is living in very uncertain times. And that's the setting that I want to set up this morning for our devotional, that Jacob currently, in the midst of his horrible, heinous act in deceiving his father, is now an outcast, a refugee, a runaway. He's now in totally uncertain times, not sure of anything, not sure of, you know, and he's totally alone, not sure if he's going to find a job, a wife, even, you know, just regular food or basic needs, housing, anything. I mean, obviously sleeping out in the wilderness and using a rock as his pillow. And the parallel is that, you know, for many of us, we're also living in uncertain times, and we're discouraged and despairing because our future seems so uncertain. And so what Jacob needs now is a word of encouragement and assurance from God. Jacob, he didn't deserve anything from God. But God, in his mercy, comes to Jacob anyway, right? And so now, for us, as life may be falling apart in the wrong decisions that we've made, or maybe our life is falling apart through no fault of our own. It's just a result of living in a fallen world. And so doubt and discouragement, uncertainty affects our lives. And so we might not be certain about even the material needs in our lives, uncertain about our personal relationships or physical health or some other areas. But in this chapter, I want to learn some of the spiritual principles that God demonstrated through Jacob. And as we look at ourselves, maybe we see ourselves in Jacob's place, that we are wretched and blind and poor and cheats and thieves and unrighteous in front of ourselves. But God shows up to Jacob, and my prayer is that he'll show up to us through this chapter. First thing that we see is that God shows up sometimes at unexpected times and unexpected places, right? Jacob is just in the middle of nowhere, and he's sleeping, and God shows him this dream, this stairway all the way up to heaven, right? And so sometimes God shows up unexpected times. And second thing that we can see is that God is present and active even when we're not aware of him. God is present and active even when we're unaware. And so what God tries to do is he tries to remind Jacob of the promises he's made. Basically, he's saying, look, I've made a promise to your father, okay? And, you know, look, I made a promise to your grandfather, Abraham, okay? So right now, since you have the birthright and the inheritance, I'm going to keep my promise that I made to them. And I'm going to keep it through you. And now I'm going to give you the land, that the very place that you're sleeping and resting as a stranger. I'm going to bless the whole world through you in this place, and I'm going to do it. And so, you know, Jacob had left the promised land, and he didn't have any descendant at that time. You could understand the confusion. It's like, look, I'm not even in the promised land. I'm outside of it, and I don't have any children, and you're going to do what? And so, you know, maybe in your lives, you know, you had this thought or idea or this journey that you're on, and you know, how your life is supposed to look like. And you're like, oh, I thought I was going to do this occupation, but I'm so far removed from that. Well, God is able to remind you of that promise. Look, you know, I have a plan for you, and you are so far removed, it looks like it's impossible, but I'm still going to fulfill it through you. And that's what he's saying to Jacob. He's reassuring, look, I know what it looks like. I know it looks like, you know, you're not in the promised land and you have no kids, and I know what it looks like, but I'm going to do it. And that's the reassuring promise. And so at this point in Jacob's journey, everything seems so uncertain. How am I going to get married? How am I going to have any future offspring? And so God just begins to reiterate the promise. And sometimes I think what we need from the Lord is, Lord, would you speak to me? The plans that you had for me, the promises that I remember from when I was a teenager. And so we need to hold on to that and get into God's word. The second thing I want to talk about is that during uncertain times, we need to remember God's presence, that he is with us. We've got to know that God is with us in the midst of uncertain and a fearful future with confidence. And so in verse 15, God says, behold, I am with you. And I don't know if how lightly we take that, but that is not an insignificant statement in scriptures. I know many times we read that, but if you were to do a study of all the characters of the Bible and how many times God says, I'm with you. He says that with Jacob. He says that with Jacob's now son in the future, Joseph. I'm with you. In the prisons, I'm with you. In the journey, I'm with you. And my desire is for us to receive the impact and the power of the voice of God saying to us in the midst of our journey, wherever we're at, though we may be far from our perceived desires of our ultimate goal, though we may be far from that, to hear the words, God is with you. Ultimately, Jesus Emmanuel, God is with us. That is the point. The point is God is with us. And until we can get that, those words seared, written in our heart, and understood that no matter how far you are from God, no matter how far you are from your purpose, God is with you. That is what he's saying to Jacob in the place where he's the most desperate, uncertain, and not confident. He's saying, behold, I am with you. So Jacob, he might have felt alone, but he never was alone. And we have to understand that God is present and active even when we're unaware. He might have felt alone, but he wasn't alone. And you may feel alone in this journey of trying to accomplish, whether it be your careers or your spiritual walk, that man, God, where are you? How come I feel alone? But you're not alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. And so the promise in verse 15, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. In fact, Jesus says that too. Lo, I'm with you all the way to the end of the age. I will not leave you until it is finished. And so in verse 15, when he says, I will keep you, this has a dual meaning. This keep you or to watch over you is the same word used in Genesis chapter 2 when God instructed Adam to take care of the garden. And so in other words, God is saying, I'm going to take care of your needs. I'm going to provide for your needs. And so what God is promising is to provide for Jacob's needs in addition to the promise to protect him from harm. And so Jacob clearly understood this. And so because on his journey, he in verse 20, then Jacob made a vow, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I will return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And so he has this understanding that the Lord is going to provide for his food and clothing and all these things. And so God has promised to provide for the needs of Jacob, and he's also promised to provide for the needs of his people. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And we understand that all these things are not all our luxuries, but all our needs. And so it's once again another theme that God is going to provide. And so Jacob understands that. And so the conclusion is that each of us will face uncertain times in our lives. Maybe you're going through an uncertain time right now in your life. Maybe you're going through a transition. But we can be encouraged because God is with us and God is for us. The question is not where have you been in your past, but it's where are you going now and who's going with you. Everybody has a past. Jacob has a past. Joseph will have a past. Abraham has a past. Everyone has a past. The question is not where have you been, but where are you going and who's going with you? And so God is saying, you're not alone. I will protect you. I will be with you. And he's saying to Jacob, I know you're scared of Esau. I know you don't know all the safety hazards all the way, but I will protect you because I'm going to fulfill my covenant. And I'm going to do that. I'm not going to stop until we're going to get this done. I'm not going to give up on you regardless of how this goes. I'm committed to you now. I'm not going to look for someone else. Because it's easy for Jacob to say, you know, and many of the biblical characters are like, God, don't use me. Don't choose me. Choose someone else. I can't do it. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. Don't use me. But God is saying, look, Jacob, hey, man, I'm sorry, but I made a promise to your father. I've made a promise to your grandfather. And so I'm going to do it. I'm committed to you now. I'm not going to look for anyone else. I'm not going to say, okay, Jacob, based on your performance, you're not good enough. So maybe I'll turn my eyes and I'll go to Esau or somebody else. I'm committed to you now, and I'm not going to look for someone else. And maybe that's the word of the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to hear those words, you know, my son, my daughter, I'm committed to you. I'm not going to look for anyone else. I'm for you. I'm with you. And so I imagine what this must have done to Jacob's self-confidence and his identity and his perception, as Pastor Nate talked about Sunday, how knowing the love of God gives you the confidence to continue. And so, you know, his identity, Jacob's identity, confidence, self-perception, this willingness to believe that maybe God could pull it off. That maybe God is going to be able to do it. Even though I'm outside of the promised land, even though I'm not even married, even though I have no kids, maybe God can really pull this off. And as you draw closer to him and you see faith arise and you see that God has confidence in us and that he's committed to us and he's not looking for someone else, basically he's saying, look, I'm not giving up on you. I am going to be committed to you all the way through the end. And then Jacob's response is he worships him. Jacob's response is, I will worship him. And as just a small detail in verse 22, this stone which I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This idea of tithing and tenth, even Jacob understood that as he encountered the experience of God. So this morning, as we get ready for worship, this morning I just want to encourage us during uncertain times that we can learn that God is consistent throughout the scriptures. From the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation, that God is with us, that God is faithful, that God is for us, he's committed to us. And when you're facing a transition in your life or uncertain times of not knowing how this is all going to play out, the encouragement is experience him, know that God is with you, and worship him as Jacob did, as he builds this place and he calls it Bethel. And so let's bow our heads and let's meditate upon that and the love of God in our lives. May he give you confidence to continue to persevere. May he give you confidence to not give up on this journey. May he give you confidence to put your complete trust in him through all the doubts and discouragements. May this story, this chapter of Jacob, give us the confidence that we can continue to trust him. So let's worship him.
Grace, you've shown me grace. You've lifted my shame, drawn me with loving kindness, washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Grace, you've shown me grace. You've lifted my shame, drawn me with loving kindness, washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Love, you've shown me love by leaving your throne, by bleeding and dying on a cross. That wonderful cross took all my guilt and sin away. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and He saves. He rescues and saves. Shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and He saves. He rescues and saves. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
Can we just thank the Lord for triumphing over death, for His grace, for His mercy, for sustaining us to this point? And let's just, before we go into intercession for our community, let's just thank the Lord. Just give Him praise and give Him glory. Let's pray for our community and ask the Lord to heal those with cancer. And as a demonstration of love, as God has loved us and God has healed us, let's, as a demonstration of love, begin to pray and intercede for those that we've been praying for regularly on a daily basis. Let's just lift them up and ask the Lord to remember them and to heal them from their cancer. So pray for them and their family members also. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those who are sick with serious illnesses, but also don't know the Lord. Let's pray for salvation to come to those who are in this situation. Let may the Lord use this situation to bring them to Christ and to open their eyes. And so let's pray for salvation and healing of their sickness. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who have other sicknesses and illnesses. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to heal them. And let's bless them through our prayers. Let's pray. Pray for those looking for jobs and employment and ask the Lord to open doors and opportunities and for God to sustain them and for grace as they are going through this difficult time. So let's pray for jobs. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and we're praying for Indonesia, for Phoebe Ministry, and Kupang, for summer missions, we are actually going to visit Kupang. There's a church that we've built and are supporting, so let's lift up Indonesia and Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Salmat and his family. Let's lift up Singapore and the church plant that is actually starting tomorrow. And so they're going to meet regularly, so ask the Lord to provide leadership there. So let's lift up Indonesia and Singapore right now. Pray for our education ministries here at SP, for Noah's Ark and the kids, for SP Youth and SP U College group, and let's ask the Lord to bless them with fruitful harvest, and let's pray for more volunteers to serve, and let's just begin to ask the Lord to truly bless them and that they would grow in faith. And so let's lift up our education ministries right now. Let's pray for our families and our marriages. Let's pray for love, healing, unity, restoration, protection. Let's ask the Lord to protect those families and marriages as the enemy would love to bring them apart. But let's ask the Lord to bring unity and love and healing. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our weekend activities, for our weekend services, and just all the things, the discipleship classes. There's GIC starting. Let's pray for just all the different ministries and all the meetings going on this weekend. So let's pray. Finally, let's pray for the house churches meeting today, Bel Air, Robinson Family, MacDaddy. Ask the Lord to use those times to that everyone can be a blessing to one another. And so let's ask the Lord to bring them together in community and in growth. And so let's lift up our house churches. Father, we pray for those times and moments, just as you spoke to Jacob, God, that you would do that with us, Lord, that we would know that you are with us, God. And Father, we just pray that today we would go in the confidence and the strength that you provide. Lord, we pray that, that you would bless our days and our weekend. And Father, we just want to remember you today, and we want to glorify your name. So Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow at church. And remember, God is with you today. We'll see you tomorrow.